Our newsmaker's guest today is the First Lady of the State of Wisconsin, Tanette Walker, wife of Governor Scott Walker. Mrs. Walker, thank you very much for having us into your new home. Do you consider it home yet? This is the executive residence.
Well, I'm not exactly sure it's home yet, but some days it feels like a hotel, and some days it feels like home. It depends on if the boys are here or not. So we're slowly moving in, slowly getting adjusted to the new home and what all goes with it. And so it's been a transition, that's for sure.
Well, let's talk about that balance. You have two teenage boys. Mm-hmm. I had those once, and I know how demanding they are. So how do you balance the job of mother and first lady? And notice I said mother first. Mm. Was that proper?
Yeah, that is definitely it. There's a lot of communication over the phone, a lot of texting, a lot of checking in, a lot of planning in advance. There's not a lot of spontaneity now. We're kind of really pretty structured so that we know where they're going and everything's kind of in place before they kind of decide to take off and go somewhere, as 15 and 16-year-olds will usually do.
Yes.
So we do a lot of checking, a lot of talking, a lot of communicating by phone and texting. And so it's been working, but it's only been 100 days, so...
Do you and the governor actually live here or split your time between here and Tulsa?
Yeah.
How's that work?
I have to say that Scott considers him, he lives here, and Scott comes back to Tulsa.
I kind of,
my heart's still in Tulsa right now, especially with the boys being there. So I'd have to say that I kind of live in Tulsa, and I kind of stay here, and then it's back and forth. Some days, depending on what's going on, if the boys have something at night and I have a meeting there in the morning, mm-hmm. I can be back and forth a couple of times. But it's working. We just make it work. It's just one of those things that you kind of just have to kind of make it work for you.
I understand.
Otherwise, you're miserable all the time. And really, we really choose not to be miserable all the time.
Good.
So.
Who stays with the boys when you're both in the Madison area?
Scott's parents moved into our house in Wauwatosa, so they're with the boys there. And then, they're here on the weekends with us. And, we just kind of making it work.
Even though I thought the governor at one time said he had a 16-year-old with a part-time job and a girlfriend. So we still able to navigate those social issues?
Yeah, with the boys, it's always something going on, whether it's a girl or a job or, sports is really our big thing. And that's kind of what we really need to juggle the most is sports. So we, we just kind of make it work.
I'm sure you do. We talked about now so far on you focusing on being on the mom part of it. The job first lady, mm-hmm. What does that mean to you, and what do you hope to mm-hmm. achieve?
Yeah, it means, I think it to me, there's a lot of responsibility that goes with that. I feel inclined to, pick something that's going to better the state. And if I've got the voice or the ear of some people, I want to make sure that I use my time wisely. Mm-hmm. But that brings a little, for me, it brings a little kind of angst or kind of anxiety because I want to do the right thing. But I've kind of taken a little, step back now and kind of just had a little breather and said, I'm just going to wait and see what comes my way and what the Lord brings to me. At first you want to get out there and jump into everything and I'm like, well, I'm going to take a little time off and not think about it anymore and just hope that something comes my way. Obviously, we're going to be rolling out a few initiatives that some people already know about, Teen Challenge.
Yeah, let's talk about Teen Challenge. Why is, you mentioned Teen Challenge is the organization mm-hmm. that you'd most mm-hmm. like to help, or are you listed at first? Why Teen Challenge?
When Scott was county executive, Teen Challenge asked me to participate in some of their graduation classes. And so when I got there and I saw the women and heard their stories, I was so moved by it that I knew that I had to do something. I'm not sure what at that time I didn't even know what it was going to be. Good. Scott was running for governor. I didn't know if that was going to all play into this whole thing afterwards being first lady. But the more I got to work with them and get to know that organization and be around those young women, it just seemed right for me.
My understanding of Teen Challenge is it takes women who are addicted. Well, go ahead. Tell us about Teen Challenge.
It's men and women who go through a program. It's about a two-year program, so it's a long time that they're in this program. It's part of AA, and it's faith-based, so those two go hand in hand. There's a lot of reading the Bible and getting to know Scripture and kind of leaning on God to kind of bring you through this kind of situation that these people are in. But it's men and women, and it's not teens. I know it's called Teen Challenge, mm-hmm. but more of them, the residents that live there, are older, in their 20s, who've come there for one reason or another. They've hit rock bottom. They have nowhere else to go. Or the courts have said, you either go to jail or you go to Teen Challenge. Right. And so they have a men's facility and a women's facility, and they just do a great job. You spend a year in the program. There's a 3-month graduation, a 6-month graduation, and 1 year, and then you give a year giving back to Teen Challenge. So it's something that just fits and works for me.
So do you plan to raise their profile of Teen Challenge? Do you plan to help them raise money? How do you see yourself mm-hmm. as First Lady yeah. helping Teen Challenge?
I would love to do both. Obviously, awareness is huge. I don't think that they're really that well known all over the state. There's a need for facilities in the Madison area. There's a need for facility maybe in the northern Wisconsin area. We also are going to be doing some fundraising together. I'm going to help them put a plan together for that. We recently just met and had a great kind of opportunity to talk and see how I'm going to be able to help them. So I hope that as we move forward, that's going to happen.
And when I interviewed the tourism secretary, I asked her about a concept called Walk with Walker.
Right.
Can you talk about that,
yeah.
please, ma'am?
Walk with Walker will be a really nice kind of just fluff kind of tourism site that will just be great for families and people and dogs to be able to walk around the state and just get to know this beautiful Wisconsin that we have. And I'm really excited about that because it's just fun.
Is it going to be just come up and take a walk with the First Lady?
You can walk with me. There's going to be tips on, healthy eating, going green. There'll be basically, you can walk with me. All of the spots will be listed. And if you choose, you can come up and meet me somewhere, wherever I'm going to be, and walk the state and walk the parks and the trails that people just forget about. So I think it'll be wonderful. I think it's going to be lots of fun. I can't wait till we get started on that. So.
Well, let's talk about you a little bit. What was your training prior to mm-hmm. meeting Scott, or do you work part-time now, or just how can you? First
yeah.
Lady,
well,
mom, everything?
Yeah, I do work for the American Lung Association.
You do.
I am responsible for one of their events this year, and so there's that aspect. Although I've got a little different role than I had in the past. Before I was their special events director, I've kind of taken a back seat now, mm-hmm. and I just handle one of their events, and it's one that I love, so it doesn't feel like work. Mm-hmm. I do the oxygen ball that they have. I raise money for that and work with the Lung Association on that. And prior to that, I've been in nonprofit, I'd say almost about 8 years now. Before that, I worked for the Diabetes Association. So I've always, in some way, either with Scott or a nonprofit, been interested in event planning and raising money. So
you're that a native kind of native of where?
Milwaukee. I was born and raised in Milwaukee.
Which high school?
I went to Mercy High School.
Mercy
High School. It was all girls school on 29th and Scott. I was not fortunate enough to be able to go to college.
Oh.
It was just not something in my family ever talked about. In fact, we were kind of talking today to someone at a luncheon about how my boys will probably be the first to go to college.
In your
you
family?
So it's kind of neat to...
Do the boys know that?
Oh, well, yes, they do. I remind them every single day practically that they're going to college. They can do whatever they want afterwards, but they're going to college. But, they kind of look at Scott and I and think, well, that you didn't go to college. you didn't do too bad. So, but that's not going to be the case for the boys. Times are different. Life is different. My parents were both union workers. You got a good job, stayed there, you know, and retired, and you spent your whole life in one job. And that's kind of how they raised me. And I went off to work at an insurance company downtown in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. It's CNA Insurance. And from there, started in the file room. I was promoted to the switchboard operator, and from there on, I think I went to the file room.
Switchboard
and,
operator.
Oh, they really, actually, I believe, really did have like a switchboard. Like it was
plug things in.
You know, it was just that kind of time, and things changed very quickly, I think, after that. But it was, you know, just one job after another, and was trained to pay healthcare claims, and then stayed in the insurance industry for about over 20 years.
So your parents had a union background?
My stepfather worked for the city of Milwaukee.
Okay, and how did they feel when you began showing an interest in Republican politics?
Well, you know, it wasn't the number one thing that they wanted me to get involved in, but as they met Scott, got to know Scott, and our children came along, and then it didn't matter what. Politics was no longer even an issue. It was all about our boys. So, and I think at the end we totally switched them over to be Republicans.
I see. Now, you said you have done some work for the American Diabetes Association. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a cause that's very important to you. You've had diabetes mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. how long, ma'am?
You know, I've had diabetes about 3 years now. So, Scott's father has diabetes. My family, there were quite a few family members that had diabetes. So I was always interested in the cause, mm-hmm. even when I worked there. I think Scott's father had already been diagnosed with diabetes at that point. So it was something that was, you know, not hard for me to do, because I had family members that, you know, obviously had the disease, and you know, it was near and dear to our hearts, all of my whole family.
So it doesn't mm-hmm. pose any major limits to your lifestyle or activities then?
Well, I'm a type 1 diabetic. I wear a pump, diabetic pump, so that helps me. You know, I don't have to always worry about going somewhere and taking a shot. And for me, it works well, because in the environment that Scott and I are in, you know, I never know where we're going to be at, and if I can sneak away to take a shot. And this way I just can use my pump, and it works very well for me. I am glad that I can use that, and just the way I chose how to deal with the disease. So,
what's your advice for other diabetics? And many diabetics have not been tested for that, correct? Isn't that true? Many are walking around not knowing they have it?
Not knowing, of course. Right. And I'm sure that I must have had it for a long time before I was diagnosed. By the time that I actually was diagnosed, I was having a lot of vision problems and really didn't understand why. I thought maybe I had to change my glass prescription on my glasses. But really what it was the diabetes. And it was, I personally had pushed for them to have my blood work tested to see if I was a type 1 or a type 2 diabetic. Mm-hmm. And it came back showing that I was type 1. I had a feeling that maybe I might have had it for a while before I was diagnosed. And so I pushed for that. My doctor kind of thought maybe it was type 2, but it turned out to be type 1. So I went right on the shots immediately. I didn't have this period where, you know, pills or other kinds of ways of treating it, mm-hmm. I went right to insulin shots. So mm-hmm. for me, waited about a year and then went on the pump, the insulin pump.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, how do the boys like having their father as governor?
Hmm.
Has it changed them?
I think some days they love it, especially when they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think they do. And I think there's probably other days when they're not so happy.
And the Packers win.
And they win. So I think they're so proud of Scott. I know they are. And, you know, I think they're more interested them in Scott being governor than they were when he was county executive. It's kind of, county executive.
Oh, yeah. You're just county executive.
Yeah,
Dad,
you know,
so
they kind of have a different idea of you know, on a larger scale and having a different impact on the whole community instead of only Milwaukee County, so I think they're proud of them.
Well, at dinner, do you sit around and talk about some of these pressing issues?
Never.
Never?
Absolutely never.
Is that a family rule?
It's not a rule.
Okay.
Because if somebody wants to talk about it, we certainly aren't going to stop them from talking about it. It's just there's so many other things to cover.
Yes.
That there's not enough time for that. And, you know, maybe if it's a longer dinner, we might get to some of the topics. I have to admit, during the last 100 days, my children have asked more questions to Scott than they ever have before. Or they've come to me with questions and say, why is this happening? Why did Dad do this? I read somewhere, someone told me something. I mean, that we've had more of that, which I'm not looking at that as a negative. I'm looking at that as a positive, that they're interested in what Scott's doing, and they're interested in hearing both sides, not just one side or the other. We've taught them from, I can't tell you, since they've been little, that there's two sides to everything. There's not right. Dad's not right. You know, the other side is not right. You need to listen to both sides, and then they'll take a vote, and someone will win, and someone will lose. And that's kind of how we looked at elections, too. That's, you know, it's hard. Going through an election cycle is hard for a family. And I tell this story about, you know, it's like you're the bride, mm-hmm. and you're all dressed up, and you're at the altar. You're not sure if the groom's going to show up or not.
Oh, my gosh. That's what it was like that November night?
Yeah, I mean, you don't know. You absolutely don't know. And we have a wonderful photograph here that someone took of Scott and I, the first 3 seconds that he won. And they wrote on the back of the photographs, there's three of them, three pictures, exactly what we said. And it was, you know, I think the first one is something like, what just happened, they called it. And I say to Scott, but does that mean you won? You know, it's like, yes. Right? I mean, you don't know. They called it for who? So we've always taught the boys there's two sides. And you got, you know, both get to be heard. But in the end, you both can't win. And so I look at it as a positive through this whole thing. I really hope that they don't look back at this time as being negative. You know, that... obviously, I don't want them to think that this is everyday life,
yeah.
But, you know.
Because it's been a tremendously interesting first 100 days. In fact, last week the governor told the reporters in the press corps, sometimes it feels like 100 years.
Yeah.
Does it feel like 100 years on your side, too?
I do. And sometimes when people say to me, why hasn't he done this? Or why haven't you done this? And I'm like, we've only been here 100 days.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so. How did you feel when the first protesters showed up outside the gates here and at your Wauwatosa home?
Yeah, I can't lie and say that it wasn't disturbing. I didn't feel, I felt safe. I felt, again, that they get to be heard. But does anyone like that? No.
Right.
It's a distraction. Obviously, that's kind of what they want. I felt worse for my neighbors in Tosa. The boys and I weren't there, but we have two little girls next door. We have an 84-year-old woman on the other side. I felt worse for them. You know, I felt like I needed to apologize for what happened. And I know they understand, and they're good neighbors, and we know them. But still, it's two little girls that had to stay in the back room and hide and wanted to know what was going on, and an 84-year-old woman up the street, you know, like one over from us. So
right. It's
hard.
It's a very emotional issue. You know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Have you ever felt in the last 100 days personally threatened?
I have to honestly say I didn't. I worried about Scott a little bit.
I wondered about that.
But I didn't feel personally myself was I threatened. But obviously we took precautions. We tried to kind of, you know, we tried to not go places where we might antagonize people. Mm-hmm. There was no need for that. So mm-hmm. we kind of stayed home a little bit and learned it. We played a lot of catchphrase during that time, a game, you know, that they have. And we kind of stayed home and had family over and friends over and that kind of thing. So we tried to kind of limit our movement at that time.
It's obvious that your faith is very important to both you and the governor. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, when you talk about this 100 days, the only thing that got us through was our faith. Scott and I both have our own little scripture books that we read, and every day during that time, we literally would be exchanging books saying, can you believe what this message is being sent to us now? And it really was just about strength and relying on him and letting him lead the way and not thinking that we can lead the way, because we can't. You know, we have to rely on the Lord to do that for us. And so the prayers, and I also think that there is a whole group of people that on the other side that were not heard, but we heard their message and their voices, because with cards and letters and prayers and, you know, just an abundance of just love and caring from people. So that helped.
So you felt lifted up by the support and prayers of others. Suddenly, your husband rocketed into the top tier in the GOP party nationally. Has this changed him? Is he still the same guy who wrote "Will You Marry Me" on a bar napkin at Saz's?
Yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, every now and then I'll, you know, kind of nudge him and say, "Okay, come back down now," you know. But he is who he is, and that's, you know, that's what they're gonna get. That's what you're gonna get is who he is. And he's still the same person that I remember from 18 years ago. He's still driven, still wants to do what's right. You know, his faith is tested all the time, and he just stays strong. And
does he bring home some of these issues from the Capitol? I mean, I understand you saying we don't talk about it at dinner because there's so much else to talk about as a family, but does he float ideas for major state policy changes past you?
Oh. No.
No?
He doesn't run them past me, but if I have something that I've heard or seen that I will immediately go and say, okay, why? Why are we doing this way? Why can't we do it this way? And he'll just, like he always does, like to everyone else, he will just lay out the plan. You know, he'll just puts it out there.
You're obviously one of his key advisors. Well, that's a question more than a statement.
Yeah. You know, I kind of feel like I'm the average kind of person out there. So the person that's sitting around the table wondering, well, why is he doing it that way? Or why didn't he do it this way? I kind of come at him with that. And you know, he kind of just explains it and it makes sense.
So. How do you feel about some of these pundits who say that the governor has come so far so quickly, he ought to be mentioned as a vice presidential you're shaking your head, ma'am?
No.
to both?
To both. We are here in Wisconsin, and it's nice to visit Washington, D.C. I enjoy that a lot, but we're here in Wisconsin, and we've only been here 100 days. In this job, so that's more than enough.
Do you see yourself out on the party circuit talking to the Lincoln Day dinners?
I have done some Lincoln Day dinners.
Are you going to be doing a lot more? Do you like to do those?
I enjoy Lincoln Day dinners. I wouldn't want to do the circuit like when you're on a campaign trail, but every now and then. A lot of the women groups, I meet with a lot of those, the women, the Republican women. I enjoy that. I'm out and a bit more in the community now. I mean, I've talked to my staff and said, you know, I'm ready. I'm not staying home anymore, and it's time to, you know, kind of venture out and get some good things done for the state. So maybe you'll see me around a little bit more than before.
Good. Maybe a final question. At the end of this term of First Lady, you will be a very successful First Lady if... Finish that, please.
I'll be successful if I can... You know, if I can do just a little bit of good for one or two organizations and bring awareness and help them raise money.
Good answer. First Lady Tanette Walker, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
A pleasure to meet you. Thank you.